Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading part 11 of the series called By Candlelight They Suffered, which is sent in by Jarrett. I hope you're enjoying this story so far, and if you are, let me know. And anyway, let's get started. Jade took a photo of Drake from the yearbook and tore it up into little strips, 3 to be exact. She dropped each strip into one of the candles she had laid out on her bed. They were the 3 heaviest hitters she knew about, and the 3 worst candles she had read about in her spell book. For a moment, Jade considered stashing them back under her bed. But no, there was no way that was happening. Sure, she'd never actually used these before, but if anyone deserved them, it was Drake Billings for what he'd done to Sage. Sage had made her promise not to do anything rash. Jade had placated her with assurances that she wouldn't, but really, what choice did she have? Sage still thought there was some kind of justice in the world, or some kind of moral court system that would make things right. Jade knew better, and so as Jade lit the fear, terror, and death candles one after the other, she began the chant that she had said so many times before, but with a conviction and passion that she'd never known. Drake Billings had stolen her sister's life. Now it was time somebody stole his. Kelsey Monroe had been dreading this ever since school had gotten out. She nervously punched in the number for Patterson High's front office and sat up straight on her bed. She cleared her throat, trying her best to sound like a concerned parent or whatever. A receptionist answered after the 3rd ring. "Thank you for calling Patterson High School. How may I direct your call?"
"Yes, hi, I'm calling because I was just here to pick up my child, and I saw something disturbing in the parking lot. Would you like to speak to our school resource officer?"
"Yes, please,"
Kelsey said, unsure of what was happening. She was shuffled around to another line where it rang again. This time, a man picked up. "Patterson High Resource Office," the voice said. Kelsey repeated the line Maddie had rehearsed with her. "What's your name, ma'am?" Kelsey made up something random. "And what did you see?"
"That popular quarterback. I forget his name, but I know the face. I saw him in his car smoking weed. It was a joint, and there was smoke coming out of his windows."
Kelsey read off Drake's license plate number from the note Maddie had written for her. "Ma'am, are you certain?"
"No,"
Kelsey swallowed, making sure to deepen her voice to sound 48 instead of 18.
"That's why I'm calling. I just thought somebody should check."
He thanked her and promised to notify administration immediately. The second the call ended, Kelsey dropped the phone onto her bed and stared at it. Her pulse hammered. She had just lied to school officials, possibly committed a crime, and possibly just ruined someone's life. Despite all that, all she could think about was what Maddie had said afterward. "Consider yourself part of the group." A smile slowly spread across Kelsey's face. For the first time in her life, she felt important. Drake was about to head into the locker room to suit up for the game when he felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned, seeing a massive cop with a stern expression plastered on his face. The rest of the football team stared their way, some of their expressions concerned, some slack-jawed, but most just confused. "Come with me, and don't make a fuss." Drake felt his throat run dry as he saw the head football coach, the athletic director, and the principal, all lingering further down the hallway. What the hell was going on?
"Did I do something?" Drake asked. The officer didn't answer. "Seriously, what's this about?"
"Let's walk." The knot in Drake's stomach tightened as he followed them down the hallway. Students immediately began engaging in hushed conversation as the officer pushed through the front doors and led him into the parking lot. It was mostly empty, this being a couple hours after school, but then Drake spotted his car with 2 police cruisers parked right behind it. A uniformed officer, a buff and tatted woman who looked like she drained protein shakes for every meal, stood near the trunk. Another, this one a normal-looking cop with a head of hair and a beard, was speaking with the vice principal, some annoyingly bubbly millennial woman. Yet when she turned her head, she was anything but her jovial self.
"What the hell?" Drake blurted. The officer beside him stopped. Watch your language. Drake barely heard him as the vice principal said bluntly,
Drake, we have serious reason to believe you are in violation of not only the student code of conduct, but multiple state laws.
His eyes were glued to the BMW-sized disaster unfolding in front of him.
That's my car.
We know.
What is this all about?
The woman officer studying the trunk came over.
Drake Billings?
Yeah?
She nodded.
Do you consent to a search of your vehicle?
What?
Do you consent to a search?
She said, pulling on rubber gloves. Drake nervously laughed, but felt his cheeks turn to molten lava.
Why would you need to search my car?
The officer's gaze gave nothing away as she said, We've received a report from a concerned individual.
A report of what?
I'm not going to discuss the details right now. Drake stared and threw his hands up into the air.
Then how am I supposed to know what you're talking about?
You don't need to know the specifics at this moment. I asked you a simple question. Do you consent to a search of your vehicle? His pulse began pounding so hard he could hear it in his ears. He looked past the officer toward his BMW.
There has to be some kind of mistake,
Drake said, forcing a laugh that sounded painfully fake even to him.
I haven't done anything wrong.
If that is the case, the officer replied evenly, then you have nothing to worry about. But Drake had plenty to worry about. His eyes darted from one officer to the next. The vice principal was watching him with her arms folded tightly across her chest. The football coach looked sick to his stomach. A handful of students had gathered just outside the front doors, pretending not to watch while very obviously watching.
If I say no?
Drake asked. We have every right to refuse consent, but I smell the odor of marijuana, which gives us probable cause to search anyway. Probable cause. The words slammed into Drake's chest as his gaze landed on the trunk one last time. They cannot open it. That would ruin everything. Before anyone could react, Drake spun and took off across the parking lot.
Stop!
The officer shouted, giving chase. Drake ran harder, pumping all his energy into his legs. His athletic frame lent him a great deal of speed as he bolted around the school and into the staff parking area. Drake barely made it 20 yards before his right foot clipped the edge of a concrete parking stop jutting out from around the bumper of a parked sedan. The toe of his shoe caught hard enough to stop his momentum instantly, but the rest of his body kept going as he pitched forward, heading directly for the pavement.
Oh no!
He stuck out both his hands to catch himself, but his right arm struck the asphalt first. A split second later, his arm bent underneath the impact with a sickening crack that echoed across the parking lot and folded as his weight bore down on top of it. An explosion of pain exploded through his entire body as he cried out, the sound barely registering over the ringing in his ears as he rolled onto his back, clutching his shattered arm. The instant he saw it, he recoiled in horror, his forearm bent in an angle no arm was ever supposed to bend. For one frozen, vomit-inducing heartbeat, his brain refused to process what he was seeing. Then, he saw a lump protruding from underneath the skin. His stomach lurched. The pain hit again, harder this time. And then his stomach lost the battle as brown bile burst from his mouth in waves that splashed the pavement.
Oh my God,
he said, his stomach lurching again as he finished. The pain only intensified, radiating from his arm into his shoulder, neck, and chest until it became almost impossible to breathe.
No, no, no.
He tried to move, but another bolt of agony shot through him, so intensely that his vision blurred. The pounding footsteps suddenly stopped beside him, and then he remembered the police.
Don't move,
one of the officers shouted as they rushed over, tasers drawn.
Stay exactly where you are,
the female officer holstered hers as she dropped to one knee, while the guy kept his train on Drake. She shouted into her radio.
We need EMS now. Male, late teens. Looks like a fracture of the right forearm. Advise them to expedite.
Drake was barely listening as she rattled off the address of Patterson High. How had all this happened? Worse yet, who had called in that complaint? Friday night. Brooke wondered if this was normal for a hospital, because another sound from outside caused her to slide to the door. How many times has that made it? She couldn't remember, but wondered if now might not be a good time to beg Jade for a ride home. She was sure they could make up eventually, but hoped she wasn't too pissed off at her still for the slap. Either way, her dad wouldn't be off until early tomorrow morning, overnight shift. But she counted her lucky stars this wasn't a school night. Heather, who had been sound asleep next to her daughter, stirred in the chair, but her eyes remained closed. Curious, Brooke poked her head out and saw nothing. Was she hearing things? The hallway stretched in both directions beneath the harsh fluorescent lights. Empty wheelchairs sat abandoned against the walls. A housekeeping cart rested crooked beside a linen closet with one of its doors hanging open. Somewhere farther down the corridor, a monitor emitted a steady rhythmic beeping. Brooke frowned. No, she knew what she'd heard, because there had definitely been some kind of screaming. So what? Wasn't that normal for a hospital? Or was it? She wasn't sure. She didn't frequent them much, being only 18 and in decent shape. Ears perked. She stepped 1 foot into the hallway. Hello? No answer. Then, out of the corner of her eyes, she caught a quick, almost blurry flash of movement. Brooke turned her head, her eyes landing on something pale slipping around the far corner of the hall. Brooke froze. What was that? It had only been there for a fraction of a second, and she couldn't be entirely sure that there had been anything abnormal there at all. Then her brain figured out what she had seen. A hand. No, an arm. But that didn't make sense. What she had seen looked more like a leg, because it was long, far too long to be an arm. It had to be a leg, right? Her pulse began hammering as she called out, "Who's there?" Nothing. Slowly, she took another step, the rubber soles of her sneakers squealing against the polished floor. Reaching the intersection, she peered around the corner. Her heart stopped. Standing maybe 20 feet away was a young blonde woman wearing nothing but a hospital gown. Or what was left of it. Long, tearing gashes exposed patches of gray, pulsating flesh. And the arms. Dear God, the arms. They hung far too low for any normal human. The fingertips brushing the floor. Wet blonde hair clinging to its shoulders as it stood perfectly still beneath the fluorescent lights. Then, without turning around, its head rotated. Brooke's mind flashed back to that scene from the Exorcist movie where Regan's head had rotated 180 degrees. It was like that, but faster, like it knew the second Brooke had entered its line of sight. The pair of gray, pale eyes locked onto Brooke as the thing smiled. It didn't speak, but that smile was so wrong. God, the smile swept up to just below the thing's eyelids. And the forehead wrinkles made it look so old as it lowered its head and thrust its neck out, like some kind of sick greeting. Then Brooke realized she was looking at whatever remained of Chloe Collins. Her hands flew to her mouth in horror. Gasping breaths filtered out from between her fingers as she backed up a step. That one slight movement must have triggered something in the thing, because everything started happening in rapid-fire succession. The thing running towards her. No, not running. The thing scampered. Yes, scampered. The thing was lightning fast, climbing up along the walls, hanging there like a chimp, before dropping back down and resuming its strange half-crawl, half-run movement right towards Brooke. She screamed as she sprinted back around the corner. Every step she could hear it right behind her, getting closer, closer, closer. Brooke stumbled forwards down the hall, nearly tripping over her own feet as she threw herself back into Jordan's room and slammed the door hard enough to rattle the frame. "Heather! Jordan!" she screamed like a madwoman. "Wake up!" Heather jolted upright as Jordan did the same, but less so.
"What?
Brooke... what's wrong?" Heather asked, a look of fright tinged annoyed on her face. Brooke leaned against the door with all her might.
"We have to block the door."
Heather blinked at her.
"What are you talking about?"
"I'm serious," Brooke snapped at one of the side chairs.
"Help me."
You bitch, Jordan spat towards Brooke as Heather rose to her feet. Heather whirled on her daughter.
Jordan Halstead, she chided. You wake up and that's the first thing you say to a friend that rode with you in the ambulance? There's no time for this,
Brooke shouted.
Oh, really?
Jordan said, yanking out her oxygen tube from her nostrils.
You signed that petition, and I thought you were my friend. No, she didn't, honey,
Heather said, holding out a hand.
The top page was switched from a...
Suddenly a blood-curdling scream, so loud and unhuman, echoed through the hallway outside. Everyone's face blanched at once.
What was that? Heather stammered. Come on,
Brooke whispered as loud as she could as Heather grabbed the chair without question and carried it over and wedged the back of the chair against the door handle, while Brooke grabbed the small rolling bedside table for good measure. Footsteps pattered just outside. It carried on and on, and Brooke was sure they were about to die. Suddenly, the footsteps stopped right outside. None of them dared breathe. And that's the end of this part. A little bit shorter for you, but nevertheless, hoping it left you on a cliffhanger enough to hate the channel. I hope you're enjoying this series so far. If you are, let me know whether you're on YouTube or on the podcast. Like this episode, I'd really appreciate that. And if you'd like to support the channel even more, well, you actually did great by listening. But if you'd like to go a step further, there is a Patreon available that has just early access. It's very basic, mainly for those who just want to support the channel. But that's about it. I hope you enjoyed yourself here. I'll see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.